Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
So Arizona State football fan is all upset over Bo Graham gone. USC football fan all, well, I shouldn't say all. It's split on Steve Sarkisian. He admitted this morning to his issue the other night that we showed the video of, and nationally has been the biggest story by far. Welcome on in. Brad Sussmat with you. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Chris Dufresne, one of the leading national voices in college football, LA Times columnist, will come on board at about 10:20 this morning to talk about Sarkisian, who already today has met with the media and talked about the mixture of alcohol and medications. And we're going to talk to Chris, too, about Arizona State and Arizona on the national scale. We'll have Coach De La Russa with us, Michael De La Russa, just after 11 o'clock. Talk United, walk United, as we talk soccer every week at 11:05 on sports360az.com, because no one else will. Let's get you caught up. Some things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, because it is all about you. Friday, this last Friday, I was sitting in Big Bad Lloyd Kovalt's office over at Santan Ford. Lloyd handles fleet, and he does a whole bunch of things. Big sports fan, has been around the Valley for a long, long time. Used to be a track announcer at Prescott. And we're talking about who's going to have more wins, the Cardinals or ASU, while we're sitting in his office. Then I went over to Ann Pierce's office, and she is the face and voice behind Tim Pohovic. And we were talking about who's part of the Santan Ford lineup this year, along with myself. And a lot of the names are familiar. I'm not going to run through all of them, but there's just a lot of big names. And it's terrific there. And then they have this gong that's in the showroom floor that they hit the gong whenever a vehicle is sold. And when you come onto the dealership to get that car, that truck, that certified pre-owned, it's really about the people there. It's different. It's kind of like us. I mean, we're just not traditional. Just any. We don't want to be traditional. We don't want to be that. Santan Ford is much, much more than just a place to get that vehicle. They're very involved in the community at Santan Ford. Just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. You can go online and shop at santanford.com. Tim Hovick does it right. Tim and his company, they get it done at Santan Ford, where it is all about you. So we've got a couple things going on here today. Let's start with a local story of Bo Graham. So I've been told all sorts of things here in the last, 15 hours thereabouts about what may or may not have happened. I haven't heard anything from Bo Graham, so I'm not going to sit here and go through it. If Todd Graham talks about it, then it's fair. But ASU's running back coach, who, oh, by the way, is the coach's son, resigns 2 weeks before the first game. Now, there's no way you can spin this. There's no way that you can spin this and say this isn't a big deal. You may try. There's paid people that are trying to spin this as it's no big deal. That's what they are paid to do. I don't begrudge them. I just don't believe them. That's my prerogative. So when this story comes out and it's played as, well, it's no big deal. No, I don't know. He's the running backs coach, so he probably has a good relationship with Kalen Ballage and DeMario Richard, and he's worked with the kick returners, which, by the way, the special teams have not been special. That's why Coach Slocum has been brought in this year. But when someone's let go in this manner in sports, it's not because, I just feel like I just need to go do something different. And, well, it's really not a big deal. It's fine that he's moving on. No. So don't buy into any of that stuff. Come on. We're not fools here on this. You may think we are, but this is a blow to the program. So he has the personal reasons as a tag as to why he's left. And they're just going to leave it at that. Is this going to impact them against Texas A&M? I don't know, but kids' relationships with coaches are very, very fragile. It's the only way to put it. And so is it worth watching? Absolutely. With a capital A, absolutely it is. This is not good for Arizona State football. Exclamation point. Not period. Exclamation point at this point in time. Here's a season full of promise, full of hype. Already today, I've had the good people of U of A football fandom jump on board. Well, if his son did something inappropriate or off the field or whatever it is, his personal reason, then why would you want to go play for that coach? Of course, there's going to be that. So that's on the Arizona State side. I think this story will move forward, and I'm not going to sit here and recklessly throw out a bunch of stuff. You know, I mean, Twitter is the world's largest sports bar. There's a lot of things that are out there. I feel pretty good about what I've been told, but this is a blow to the program. I'm going to just let, if Todd wants to talk about it, Todd's going to talk about it. I'm not going to sit here and go through everything. From there, we have the story. And Eric, do you want me to go any further on that? Are you fine?
I'm not dancing. No, it's fine.
I'm not stepping on any lines. It's just this is not what the show's about every day.
No.
Okay, so
he resigned.
He resigned. It's personal reasons, and the only thing I'm just going to flat out disagree with is anybody who says this is no big deal. That's silly. So then let's talk about USC, though, because I think this is a bigger issue because this is the head coach. And Chris Dufresne's going to join us here in a couple of minutes, and Chris is a leading voice nationally, and he's right there in Los Angeles. So Steve Sarkisian, you saw the video, we played it for you yesterday, of the coach slurring and stumbling around at a USC event on Saturday night and dropping F-bombs and acting inappropriate. Yesterday afternoon, the LA Times was writing in a way of perhaps Sark has a drinking problem. So here is Steve Sarkisian this morning. This is about an hour ago. Outside of USC's practice, he met with the media. This was a short time ago.
So first and foremost, I'd like to apologize for my behavior Saturday night. It was inappropriate. I feel bad for the University of Southern California. I feel bad for Max Nikias, Pat Hayden. I feel bad for our players, and I feel bad for my own kids that the way I acted was irresponsible and something that I obviously don't condone. I've met with Pat at length. There are things that we're going to work on for me moving forward. But it's a hard time. It's a hard time. And I truly believe in myself as a coach. I truly believe in myself as a coach to lead this team and to be the best coach for this team to go win a championship.
So there was a lot there. And if you read between the lines, the part where he says he's met with Pat Hayden at length, I'm sure those weren't, hey, do you remember throwing that touchdown pass when you were BYU? And well, Pat, I remember when you were with the Rams. And I'm sure that was not the conversation. When he said that there's some things that he and they are going to work on together, he didn't go down the path of, I'm going to stop drinking and acting like a fool. Do you feel like big-time football coaches can't have problems? If you're the CEO of a company, are you just not supposed to have any personal problems? You're not supposed to have any personal demons or things that you're working on. When you're a football coach, if you're winning, then everything should be just fine. You should live in the biggest house. You should have the biggest part of the decimal point on your check. You should marry the most beautiful woman in the world. You should do all that stuff if you're the head football coach. Or is that just completely unrealistic? It doesn't matter what profession it is that you're in. You're USC. If Steve Sarkisian last year doesn't lose on the Jail Mary play to ASU, if USC, if the kicker for Arizona makes a kick last year, what was the other game, Eric, they lost? There was two of them that they lost right at the buzzer last year. My point is, if Steve Sarkisian were more respected as a head football coach, would this just be, our guy Sark, that's our man up there on stage. You tell him. We're going to the bowl game. Is there that guy in the alumni group that just doesn't care personally about what the guy is all about? All he cares about is how many football games they win. And the sad truth is, yes, that's what it's all about. If you're a UCLA fan, much like I mentioned U of A earlier with ASU and what's gone on with Bo Graham here in the last 24 hours, you know point blank, flat out, if you don't believe this, then you're kidding yourself, that the negative recruiting from UCLA to USC to any of these recruits, that's going on. You want your son to go play for that? You really want your son? I'm Jim Mora. I use language, but what coach doesn't? We're just motivating young men. But look at this video here. We would never act that way. You're David Shaw from Stanford. You don't negative recruit. You just come in and you sit down and you're David Stinking Shaw. That's it. Actually, you're David Bleeping Shaw, and that's it. So I look at this because it all rolls into the Pac-12 South. It all rolls in to where U of A and where ASU are in the football powers. And now you got a problem if you're Pat Hayden, because if they lose a couple games along the way, you know that Big Cigar over there is saying, get him out of here. I need someone else here. You know that's coming.
And the problem is really threefold for USC. Number one, it's the LA market. Number two, it's the USC tradition. And number three, it's Steve Sarkisian, who, like you said, already has a bunch of either people like him or don't like him.
Or don't respect him as a coach.
And there's more people that probably don't like him and don't respect him as a coach just because we're USC. We should be winning 10, 12 games every year. We should be in the playoff every year. Going to the Holiday Bowl and beating a bad Nebraska team
doesn't work.
It's not good enough.
No.
For some schools, that's great. Go to the Holiday Bowl, beat a great program like Nebraska. Not at USC. It's just not good enough.
Well, it's like last week, the Baylor story with Art Briles. And we didn't really touch on it on this show. There's a lot of stuff going on. But Art Briles is winning big in Baylor. So if he's got a player that comes in from Boise State and does something reprehensible to a student on campus, it's Art Briles, man. We almost made the CFP. Come on. There's going to be that segment of the population. If it's Steve Sarkisian, it's, he's a drunk. He can't coach. He's this. He's that. And what's really interesting to me is the ASU-USC game is early in the season. So you know these first few weeks for USC, that program is going to be under the microscope. It's just going to be.
And say what you want, Brad, about USC, but they handled this with flying colors compared to what's going on at Baylor. Baylor announced this morning no media availability until like two days before the first game. So all this huge firestorm that's just been brewing and brewing, this dark cloud.
This Baylor story is huge, by the way.
It's huge.
Story.
It's huge. But USC comes forward. The coach comes out. Cody Kessler comes out. And now watch. This story, it won't totally dissipate, but at least it's out there now. We live in a very forgiving society when people are transparent. And this morning, Sark was as transparent as you can possibly be.
So when Todd Graham talks today and is asked today what really happened with Bo Graham's dismissal.
It'll be curious to hear what he says.
Okay. And is somebody actually going to ask him straightforward?
Sure. Someone will.
But not in a way of, boy, it's really disappointing Bo's not here. I mean, somebody's got to back him into a corner and just say, what happened to Bo Graham on your coaching staff? And if he says he's no longer here, why is he no longer here? And if he says, I can't talk about that because it's a university situation, then that tells you all you need to know about what happened on this story and everything that's out there today. That's really it. Because this, he just decided to move on, that's not going to work. You can't use PR to get your way out of everything. You can try, but you see through that stuff. We're going to talk about the Cardinals and the offensive line in about 10 minutes because I think it's a mess with their next playoff game coming up. But on the other side, Chris Dufresne, one of the leading voices nationally in college football from the LA Times, joins me next on Sark, ASU, U of A, and much more. I'm Brad Sussmatt.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360AZ.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Chris Dufresne jumps on board now, national college football basketball columnist for the Los Angeles Times, one of the more respected voices in college football, joins us. Sports 360 AZ. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Brad Sussmatt with you this morning. Steve Sarkisian met with the media in Los Angeles and talked about how he had mixed alcohol and medication. Here at Arizona State, Bo Graham up and resigns out of the clear blue sky. So we have fans wanting to talk on the college football front on both programs. And Chris wrote a big piece over the weekend that I saw, and Eric pointed out to me as well, on Todd Graham. Chris joins us for a couple of minutes. Let's start with Sark, and I appreciate you jumping on board, Chris.
Sure.
The press conference this morning, just going through your Twitter timeline, Sark sounded wounded and raw, at least to you. Can you give the fans a clear idea of what it was like there this morning with the USC head coach?
Well, I wasn't actually out there. I just watched the video highlight of it. So yeah, I did see the entire thing, and he did look wounded and defeated and tired. He mentioned that he had mixed medicine or medication with alcohol, and that was kind of what happened. I'm sure USC fans and the people that hated him already are probably looking at that as an excuse. You know, he's going to hide behind the med drink card, and it's really a kind of a sad situation because these are two separate issues. Whether he's a good coach or whether he has a drinking problem are two separate issues, and not to be conflated, but of course they always are in this business, and it's hard to work through the agendas that people have. And USC, a lot of USC people did not like the hire to begin with, so this mm-hmm. is just kind of raw meat for their case. But I think if it is a personal problem, I think we need to everybody just needs to stand back and appreciate it. If this happened in a regular work environment, at an accounting firm or something, then there'd be a lot of different procedures that would protect him and from the vitriol that goes on today in today's social media world, which is in many regards the disgusting, but sure. that's the world we live in.
Sad reality of it is, in from my view, USC wins games that they didn't lose on the final play or two last year. This is, hey, that's my guy, Sark. That's what it's
absolutely
all about.
That is the sad part. If they were 12, if they had won 12 games last year, the reaction today would have been blaming the media for piling on. Why can't you get off this? How come you're not talking about Art Briles? What he did, what about Jim Mora screaming at his players? That's the reality of this world. And then when you take the big boy seat, at which the head coach at USC is a big boy seat, you have to understand that. I think who knows what's going on behind the scene with Sarkisian? Maybe wasn't ready for that kind of job. Maybe the pressure was too great. Maybe that's at the root of all these problems. The problem is when you're at a coach at that kind of institution, there's no secret. You can't get up in front of people anymore and say something and not have it, blasted out to the world. That's the reality. And to me, that was the alarm, is that, Sark is not a dumb person. I mean, what person would do this on purpose? Knowing that, there are no secrets anymore. So that to me kind of raised the alarm bell for me. Is like, well, he wouldn't do this, knowingly do this. So maybe there is something, there is more to it than that.
One of the respected voices nationally, Chris Dufresne, you can follow him on Twitter at Dufresne, Dufresne, LA Times, Chris Dufresne, national college football columnist with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes. How's this playing with UCLA today?
I'm not sure. Like I said, it's a cynical world, and I tweeted some stuff last week and got just kind of railed by the UCLA Nation, because I mentioned it was a bad week for our local coaches, because Mora had an outburst out at training camp where mm-hmm. he dressed down his freshman quarterback and dropped F-bombs and kind of behavior that you kind of saw the throwback. I mean, you think of the Frank Cush's era, that kind of motivational tactics. And I just got, grief about how could you compare the two things? Well, maybe they're not comparable. But that's why I say there is no, in this rivalry, everyone has an agenda. So yep. Everything is colored. Comment, every opinion is colored by what does it mean for the rivalry, and that's kind of why. I mean, you have to step back and look at these things, but that's impossible because there's no time for reflection in today's world.
It's interesting, Chris. No, it's a good point you bring up, because over here, Bo Graham, Todd's son, up and resigns yesterday out of the blue, and I already have U of A people saying, well, there's got to be something behind there, and sure, there is. I don't know what it is. There's a lot of speculation about it as we sit here and talk today. Todd's supposed to talk later today. But there's already U of A people saying, well, if the coach's son has to leave his own dad's program, then why would my kid or why would a recruit want to go play for Todd Graham if there's something that behind the scenes, and there's a big leap, but I feel like what you're saying is the same thing over in Los Angeles, that why would you want to go play for Sark? He can't even hold his own liquor up on stage at a, at an event. So I get it.
Yeah. But the, it's the first thing you think of, sadly, is the, how does this help us in recruiting?
Yep, no question. You know, and, no question.
But that's the reality. You can't, you know, you can't sit around and Pollyanna and just say that's not happening. But that's the way rivalries are. I mean, they look at Auburn and Alabama. I mean, it can be taken to a level that you know, there was a point of no return where you're poisoning trees and you're you know, you're getting in fights and doing, you know, things that, you know, this is psychological and society issue that's kind of bigger than I can explain, I guess.
Chris Dufresne with us. A couple other questions I'll let you go. The story that you wrote on Todd Graham, I guess just big picture, you've covered and seen Arizona State. I was out in Southern California for years before coming over here, and I felt that it was a mirage job. Looked great on the outside. Yeah. When Bruce Snyder was here, he had it up and running, but we went through years of seeing Dirk Cutter roll through here and Dennis Erickson was mailing it in, and now we have Todd. It's no longer a mirage job from my view. What do you see over here with ASU?
Yeah, I would agree. And, you know, I covered that team, the Jake the Snake team. I probably saw six or seven of the games that year, and it was a great ride. Funny what happens when you get the right person, you know? It happened with Bruce Snyder, and maybe the reason, and this is always the question, maybe the reason it wasn't working because you hired the wrong guy. You know, that's the question. Look at Alabama struggled. It wasn't because they were they weren't Alabama anymore. Is it that they hired Nick Saban instead of Mike Shula? You know, those kind of decisions, and Todd Graham instead of Dirk Cutter. I got to say that I'm sort of surprised. I was not a big Todd Graham fan, not because he could coach, but just sort of his legacy of
jumping around. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and so he's already. I said he's already one of the most stable coaches in Division I right now, and I think he's the real deal, and I think he's proven it. So you have to give him his due. And he's got, I think, a chance in a very, very difficult division to do something special. And that could still mean they lose three or four games, you know, in the last minute. That can happen. But I think they have the ingredients to be special for the next couple of years.
I think the irony of it is Lee Steinberg had June Jones hired over here for about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And that all fell apart. You know, if you think back on it, that. And then Todd shows up on the radar screen, and Lisa Love, the sitting athletic director at the time, gets fired a short time later. Steve Patterson, we all know what a train wreck that's turned into, a dumpster fire down in Texas. He leaves. I think having Ray Anderson here, even though he didn't hire Todd, Chris, just from the outside in, Ray's finally an athletic director that can get this stadium project moved forward. And then you go down to Tucson. I think Greg Burns, one of the sharpest guys around, in the athletic director's chair there. So we have two sitting ADs at the schools out here that actually care and can actually get things done versus just putting it on cruise control.
Exactly. It's funny how it works out sometimes. People you don't hire. You know, USC tried to hire Dennis Erickson and Mike Riley and Mike Bellotti in 2001, and they ended up with, who's this Pete Carroll guy? I mean, that's how it works sometimes, you know. It appears that it has worked out well for Arizona State, and I like that rivalry now because, you know, we got two really good coaches in that state, and they're very competitive, and it's going to kind of be like UCLA USC, just a little farther apart.
Before I let you go, what happens with Sark? Is he sick?
I don't know.
Is he under the gun? Does Pat Hayden have him under the gun?
Well, you know, Pat Hayden hired him. You always look at a program who hired the head coach. If it was a different AD, then he would be in huge trouble. But this is as much about Pat Hayden's reputation as it is about Sark's. Mm. So, you know, Pat's going to do everything he can to make this work. So what it does is just shortens an already short leash for Sark. You know, he has no margin for error. The first the first loss is going to be, you know, 10 times what it, you know, what it would have been last week. So he's on a razor's edge right now, and it could go either way. If they win, like I said, we talked. If they win big and they beat Stanford and they're 4-0, and then this might go away. But if it doesn't, then he could be in trouble very quickly.
Last question. So the CFP is over here in January this year, as you well know. Who do you have who do you have in the CFP this year?
Well, probably the usual suspects. I moved Oregon way up once. I was waiting on the Vernon Adams math test up at Oregon, but once he passed that test, I'd literally have moved them into the playoff. You know, okay. I thought it was like a five position jump with Oregon because they are otherwise loaded. And if this kid is anything close to, you know, Russell Wilson, which is sort of the comparison, another fifth year transfer who, you know, took Wisconsin to a Rose Bowl, then they could be really special and kind of off the radar. Other than that, you're looking at, I think, TCU and Alabama, Oregon, and Ohio State, you know, if I had to pick it right now.
You got it. Appreciate the time. Thanks, as always.
Okay, anytime.
It's Chris Dufresne with us, National College Football writer, columnist for the Los Angeles Times, one of the best in the business. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ, AZ Central Sports. On a Tuesday, Brad Sussmat with you. Thanks again to Chris Dufresne. On the Cardinals front, so they're off today. And they have the Raiders this coming Sunday, not Saturday. They play Sunday. There was a time where there were 6 preseason games. I remember it. There were 14 regular season games, and there were 6 of these bad boys. Count them. The owners always have wanted 20 games, so unless the players are willing to say, we'll give up 2 preseason for 2 regular season games, this is the crapola that we're going to see. I've been on this rant for, I don't know, half dozen years, so I don't need to beat a tired topic because it's a really tired topic about how this stuff is just fake football. But I do think if you're looking at the Cardinals right now and you're excited for the season to get started, I think I'm very interested. Very, very interested to see what the Cardinals do this year. We have a football team here that should be pretty darn good on the professional level. We have 2 college teams that are going to be very, very good in their respective divisions. I think NAU is going to be good at Division I AA, and I think, you know, even Donnie Yannis over at Arizona Christian at the NAI level. And the high school here is great. So football is not just a pro team. This is a statewide deal with how good football is in our state. And you know, on the pro level, the Cardinals' offensive line may start against New Orleans with 4 different guys at positions than who started in the playoff game against Carolina. 4.
Yikes.
So, yeah, I mean, to think that, you know, when I hear this, well, this is not a big deal. It's part of camp. They have the right guys on the roster. They're going to put Earl Wofford now. Now, I don't talk tackles very much. I'll talk Jared Valdir because he's a Pro Bowler. But by and large, 98% of the audience is not going to get wound up about who's playing a certain position. But I think here it's relevant. Earl Wofford's somebody that they've brought in, that they've talked highly about, that they feel like at some point in time he's going to step forward. And so they're going to put him over at right tackle with Bobby Massey being suspended. All this means to you is it's a shell game. You know that Jared Valdir is going to be sitting over there at left tackle, which he should be. I could go through all the guys that they've run through at center, but I think at the end of the day, Lyle Sendlein's going to be the guy. It may be Shipley to start out the year. I don't know that. But DJ Humphreys has turned out to be a first-round pick, at least to this point, that has been disappointing. I think that's the only way to put it. He has been disappointing. They're going to move him back over to left tackle, which is his natural position. They're going to put Wofford over right tackle, and they're going to see what they have to work with. Here's the reason why it's disappointing. You don't draft first-round picks and not have them come in and produce. You just don't. You know, Jonathan Cooper a couple of years ago did not produce. He got hurt. Jonathan Cooper last year was struggling. Even before Cooper got hurt, I don't think there was an overwhelming regard that, wow, he's going to be one of the greatest ever. So this is not directed towards Steve Keim, but in a way it is towards the organization. You've drafted two offensive linemen that the jury is still out. That's a fact. That's just the plain truth. And when your most valuable commodity tore his ACL last year and also had another injury last year, you've got to make sure that valuable commodity is able to get through a game. Like, you know, Bruce Arians may want to play Carson Palmer a whole bunch of snaps and get the offensive line. This is the typical, it's the third preseason game. This is the most important. This is the most relevant, blah, 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 blah. We've heard that crap for years. They're not going to have answers, permanent answers, as to what's going to, the offensive line is going to look like against the New Orleans Saints. All I care about, I don't care about the Raiders. I don't care. I don't care about Denver in a couple of weeks. Don't care. And I don't think you should care either. What matters is, can you start to put the jigsaw puzzle enough together enough so when the lights do come up and it really does matter, you know, these games don't matter. I don't want to see Carson get killed this week up in Oakland in a game in, you know, on a baseball field that's turned into a football field. You know how that can play out. Uneven surface, potholes, all that stuff. Why do I want to put my most valued commodity out in harm's way for something that doesn't mean anything? Well, you've got to give the offensive line a chance to work together. You've got to give an offensive line a chance. I hate this word. It's overused, but it's true here. You've got to give them a chance to gel. So they can move all these pieces around all they want, but man, you talk about a camp that has been disappointing on the offensive line to this point, at the tackle position, right tackle specifically, and with their first-round pick. It may not mean anything. They may come out and roll right through New Orleans. They may go right down the field. They may go 4-0, their first game's right out of the chute. But you're putting Carson out there. You know, be careful what you wish for on this. Oh, we got it all figured out. Really, let's see. Andy Dalton last night threw two interceptions in 90 seconds. Eric, how did you handle Andy Dalton when he was at your college?
Well, it was a much different Andy Dalton.
What happened?
It was the good Andy Dalton, the four straight bowl game MVP Andy Dalton.
He's a man. If you're in Cincinnati today, that he just needs a change of scenery. I'm sorry. That's one of those that it's run its course.
Well, here's what happened, and this is sort of typical. Okay, the first pick that he threw, I don't know if you saw it, but literally it hit A.J. Green squarely in the hands, went right through his hands, and the DB who was beat just caught it. And that's happened quite a few times in Dalton's career. The second interception, he threw late over the middle and threw it 40 yards over the guy's head, and it was the worst interception that I've seen him throw in quite a while, and he's thrown quite a few.
He's thrown quite a few.
But Gruden did a little feature on, you know, Andy Dalton takes a lot of heat, and yeah, some of it's deservedly so.
Yeah.
But then he ran back like a dozen clips of A.J. Green stopping on routes, A.J. Green giving up on a play, A.J. Green running the wrong route. But yeah, the quarterback always gets blamed. So
I thought Jameis Winston was all right last night, but again, it's August. I saw Mariota play the other night. I thought he was fine too. The fact that Mariota and Winston meet each other in game one has got to be near the top of my list of most intriguing.
For sure.
That's really going to be fun.
Two polar opposites, by the way, off the field.
And what is it? I saw Michael Vick is going to meet with the Steelers. Michael Vick is going to go work out for the Steelers and is going to meet with them. There's a story today about a former Sun Devil. We like to talk about all the players, whether it's pro, college, or high school, that went to school here, in the case of Terrell Suggs. A story involving Terrell Suggs. Terrell Suggs over the weekend had a below-the-hip shot on Sam Bradford on Saturday. And Terrell Suggs was accused of being a cheap shot because of this. Jim Harbaugh wasn't very happy about it. When you start popping off about somebody's character, you cross the line, Harbaugh says. I mean, John Harbaugh. What am I saying, Jim? John Harbaugh. That's not really something that we would respect, but most of their guys over there understood the play and understood Suggs was playing hard and trying to get stops. Both Sam Bradford and left tackle Jason Peters were outspoken about the intent behind the hit. Now, John Harbaugh is not as much in the news as Jim, obviously, and I think he's a pretty darn good coach. I'd take him on my team if I had a coaching opening. It's important for a coach to defend his players, but question the opinion of the guy taking the hit. Sam Bradford has not been out on the field that much, and he's going to get hit. Like, Carson Palmer was wanting to get hit. He had talked about that last week, that it's important to get your hits. And so he gets his hits, talked about after the game. That is one of the things in preseason or just in workouts is, yeah, you want to get that hit, get your body used to being beat up a little bit, get worked through. So that story caught my eye from last night. Chris Carter, ESPN just has got to be rolling in their grave. There's a story today involving Kurt Schilling. I'm going to get into the next segment, and you just roll your eyes. And then there's Chris Carter with his comments we showed yesterday about the rookie symposium. And he made an apology. You got to have your fall guy, remember? Got to have your fall guy. Everybody's got to have a fall guy. I guess Bo Graham should have had a fall guy, right? Steve Sarkisian should have had a fall guy. If I'm believing Chris Carter, everybody should have a fall guy. I should have a fall guy. It should be Jared Nielsen. Jared Nielsen's fall guy should be Eric Sorens. We should all have fall guys. So we saw the video. Everybody laughed about it. The NFL left it up on their beloved website for over a year, which means nobody's paying attention to this. Then it gets brought to their attention. Oh, what do you know? We got to take this down. Quote Chris Carter, "It's really hard to go through my thought process. I can't make an excuse for what my mindset was. My heart was in the right place." There's a lot of was here, which means I better get out of this. "My heart was in the right place. I didn't," meaning past tense, "use words that I was very proud of. It's not the kind of advice I would offer young people. I would never tell young people to break the law or avoid prosecution. It was bad advice. I really, really regret my words when I heard them come back to me. And more importantly, it hurt young people and it hurt them in the approach of the National Football Leagues. So I take it very, very seriously. I do regret that day. I hope moving forward, the NFL still has enough trust in me and has connected me to their young people." Carter vowed to not let it happen again. That's good. That's good. I don't know if he read off of something. I don't know if that was sent out. I'm pretty sure there was PR people involved in this. That's the way it usually works. I may sound cynical about this. I've just seen it through the years. You know, at the time, it's very funny when you're up on stage saying you got to have a fall guy, and it's really cool, and you have all these rookies in front of you. And I don't know, I guess if you have open mic night at the Comedy Hour, that really plays well. But it wasn't open mic night unless you have Warren Sapp sitting next to you who's giggling about this. So there's that story with Chris Carter, and then Kurt Schilling. You know what? I'm going to say this for the next segment. Let me take a break here because I need a little bit of time on this one with Kurt Schilling. This one, that Kurt said a lot of things here, and there were times where people at the Diamondbacks would just say to my face, "We wish Kurt would just shut up." I think this is one of those, and you're going to hear more about this one as the day progresses. I'm Brad Sussmat. Michael Della Russo joins us in about 10 minutes. We talk United, walk United every week. United SC head coach Michael Della Russo. They had a good win the other night, and a good crowd too. They had almost 4,000 there on a night when there was a preseason NFL game, and they continue to grow. Just telling you, just when it is 2017 and 2018 and some of the stuff that gets out of who's going to be involved with this franchise, the people that have said, "Why is he doing soccer?" Because just watch and save this tape because we'll want to. Is it August 25th of 2015? Go back and say, that was cool. Kurt Schilling today. You know, you can't make this stuff up. And we all step in poop. For some people, stepping in poop, it's really comfortable. If you have a dog and you step in it, it just happens. Eric, you have dogs. You have rescue dogs. Yep. You've stepped in the poop.
Oh, yeah. Daily.
Happens.
Literally happens. Daily. It happens.
And you love your dogs.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Warm and gushy. It's the way it works. Kurt Schilling stepped in it, says he's got to be more careful the next time he tweets. Well, good luck with that. We've seen Kurt tweet through the years. Former Red Sox pitcher today was trending because he compared Muslims to Nazis and featured Adolf Hitler's image. Of course he did. Why not? Quote, it's said only 5 to 10% of Muslims are extremists. In 1940, only 7% of Germans were Nazis. How'd that go? Schilling commented, the math is staggering when you get to the true numbers. So a few minutes later, he had to take the tweet down, got deleted. Then he got ripped on in Twitter. And then he took it off his Facebook page. And then Schilling had to go to Twitter to apologize. That didn't come across in any way as I intended or interpreted. So you're ESPN and you've got Chris Carter and you're the PR person for poor ESPN. Yesterday I was at a sales meeting with one of the biggest corporations in the Valley. And they're taking a good long hard look at us, and that's fine. I like being in that room. I have no problem being in that room. I'm very comfortable in those rooms. And one of the main people in the room said to me, "Yep, I dumped my Disney stock, got to get away from ESPN." And this person's pretty passionate about sports, but you don't need that. You just don't need that. And so this big, bad company from 30 years ago, it's the cracks are showing up. Just go look. Go look at the New York Times. Go look at a big piece they did in LA Times on Disney stock and ESPN and the whole portfolio. It's not what it once was. So that caught my eye. We have this kicker story, so literally a kicker story. You always end the newscast with a kicker. That's the water skiing squirrel, you know? Friday night, we may not have it? All right. Friday night, let me know if you do. It's Friday night, you're doing the 10 o'clock show. Nobody wants to be there on the set or off the set in local TV. They just don't want to be there. They are out there, checked out, and you see on the show rundown, the producer put in the water skiing squirrel. Why not? So we don't have it? We lost it? I'll give you a minute. All right. So we're going to have that here in a minute. I saw it on the college football front. I was going to work this in too. Scheduling is always an interesting dynamic. Like U of A this year, I think, has very little chance to have a perfect season or close to perfect season simply because they do not have a bye week. This would be one of the most remarkable coaching jobs for Rich Rodriguez, if his team makes it through the season with double-digit victories when they don't have a bye. Doesn't have anything to do with talent. Doesn't have anything to do with what their roster looks like top to bottom. It has everything to do with your coaching 18, 19, 20, and 21-year-olds, and there's going to come a week, and maybe even 2 weeks, where all of a sudden things just don't go right, where your team comes out flat. A coach can only do so much. So I'm very sympathetic to what's going on with U of A this year. You know, they open with Texas, San Antonio. They have Nevada. I think their preseason schedule, the way that it stretches out, is one that they could have some early season success. But somewhere along the way, there's going to be a game where you just look at it and say, wow, I could never have seen this happen. I didn't see it coming. So that caught my eye. Ohio State today, Eric, I don't know if you saw this or not. Ohio State, they needed a game in 2019. So today, Ohio State announced that they've added Florida Atlantic University. Of course they did. What a great matchup. Why not have FAU come in and at halftime, it'll be 60-0. There'll be 20 players on the sidelines that are all going to be laid out that are going to get hurt in this game. But Florida Atlantic University, FAU, going to Ohio State, they can watch the I get dotted. There'll be 10 fans maybe from Florida Atlantic University. They're going to come up and watch this. So there'll be all these Buckeye fans. And FAU will make more money in this one game to supplement their entire athletic budget, entire, by playing FAU. So we really look forward to these cream puff games. I thought in the CFP we'd start to see less and less of this. But, you know, there's still the nonsense in the SEC where it's the third week in November and they're playing a 1AA team to rest up for the rest of their season. I don't even think that's smart anymore. So that caught my eye. All right, let's go back on this kicker. So the Georgia Southern kicker, the name, I can't pronounce it, but watch this. So he pops it. And then he goes after it and he flips. Now, I don't know if this is typical. You know, like Jay Feely could do all sorts of goofy things kicking it. And kickers are just kind of weird. They're kind of wired in a weird way. Do we have that one more time? I just want to like see it one more time. Probably, did we lose it? Yeah, so he's got to pop it up there. I mean, what's the point in that? Hey, I'm so bored being a kicker that I'm going to try doing a backflip. Well, it makes perfect sense. Of course it does. Sports360AZ.com. We join you every day, do our thing here on our website, Sports360AZ.com. We also are streamed on AZ Central Sports, the Arizona Republic, and ourselves have a terrific partnership. And you can check our show out every day and our content on AZ Central as well. Michael Della Russo comes up next. I'm Brad Sussman. Off we go into hour number two. Thanks for being with us. We simulcast on the Arizona Republic's site as well, azcentralsports.com, Sports360AZ. I'm Brad Sussmat. This Saturday night, we will have the United game, United SC against Galaxy 2 Los Dos at 7:30. We'll have the play-by-play on that. I have fans that send me notes say, you have a lot of fun doing those broadcasts. Yeah, it is a good time, especially when the team comes out and puts together a complete effort that Coach Dello likes to see. Michael Della Russo, head coach of United, joins us now for a couple of minutes. And the energy and enthusiasm was back, I thought, on Saturday night, Coach.
Yeah, it was good. Their work rate was there, which was good. And we did what we needed to do to get 3 points, which is most important at this time of the year.
Okay, let's go through the goals then. We have the video of them. Let's go with Long's header at first.
Yeah, it was a good play. You know, we kept it in, had a good little combination. Damian got through, played a great little ball, especially because, you know, I think he struggled a little bit in the first half, and he knows that. So for him to come out 2 minutes in the second half, deliver a great ball, Long made a great run and finished it. So it was very, very encouraging coming right out from halftime to have that going.
Your team has come out, I thought, I've seen in the last few matches, not that you didn't earlier in the year, but you've come out in the first 5 to 10 minutes of the second half really looking sharp. Have you noticed that as well?
Yeah, they've responded well. We've made a couple adjustments at halftime and worked some things out internally, and it shows us right away. And that's a sign of a good team. You know, they know what they need to do to get better, and they go out and prove it right away, which is for being a coach, it's happy to see for sure.
Okay, so what do you like at halftime? Are you a guy that throws things, breaks chalkboards? Are you a guy that's very quiet? Is it all about the team? Pull the curtain back for the fans a little bit, Coach.
I haven't yet to throw anything, at least in the presence of my team, no. but I have gone in. Certain games take certain, you know, personalities to get them going. So at times, you know, there are times that you have to get into them and challenge them. And then there's other times where really all it takes is a couple, you know, tactical instructions to make sure that they understand and that that's, you know, moving in the right direction. It all depends a lot on effort in the first half. Mm-hmm. If the effort's not there, then it might take a little bit more enthusiasm from me. Let's call it that at halftime. If it is, and it's just a couple pieces are missing, technically maybe they're a little off, then it's maybe just a challenge to them and to change a couple things tactically, and hopefully it works coming out in the second half. And they've been a team that reacts well to both ways.
I found some coaches, or many coaches, you have to know the personality of each player, that if you just go in as a group and dress them down, versus some players, I've had coaches tell me, some players all I have to do is walk by them and take the front of my shoe and just tap them on the front of the shoe, which is my way of saying to them, I need more out of you. Versus others, you have to like literally almost put your hands on their shoulders and look them in the face and shake them to become awake. Are you that way too, that it's about the personality, not the collective?
Yeah, for sure. First of all, you have to see collectively how they react. So when you're addressing them collectively, how they do things and whatnot. And then it's all about knowing them individually. There's some players that you get in their face and scream at them and, okay, they're good to go. And that's what they need. Other players, you'll lose them for the whole game if you do that because then they're just worried and overly concerned. You can take, for example, Scott Morrison. Scotty's, he's, you know, he's a Scottish background. where he's come from. You know, the coaches that he's had in the past have really gotten into him. And that's how he responds. And, you know, that's a guy where you just get to know their personalities.
How were you when you played? How were they able to motivate you?
Either way.
Nah, really? Top of the shoe?
It was either way.
You didn't.
I was always a guy, too, that didn't listen to a lot of hype up music. I listened to very relaxed music. My wife made fun of me because she would always try to pump big time hype music in the car before going to places. And I'm more of a relaxed type guy to get me in the mood to play.
Michael De La Russa with us this Saturday night, 7:30, Galaxy 2 at Scottsdale Stadium, third game of a 4-game homestand. There was a good crowd this last Saturday night, and look forward to more of that. All right, second goal then. Aaron Dennis, who just came to you a couple of weeks ago, take us through the second score for you on Saturday.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, George just went in the game. Aaron just went in the game. George makes an impact right away. He goes at him, plays a great, you know, plays Chiba. Chiba plays a great little ball over the top to John Top, and whether it was a shot or a cross, you know, put us in a great position, and Aaron was in a great place and finished it off. And like I said after the game, very well deserved for him. He's come into three games and made an impact of every game that he's been in. And he's working, you know, and he's a guy that makes a difference when he comes in the game. He doesn't just keep the level the same, he raises it, and that's important for a guy coming off the bench.
What was it you saw in him that you wanted to sign him here?
I think that, you know, he has an extremely hard work ethic. He's a bit of a quiet kid, but, you know, he's a guy that wants to get better. He had flashes of very good play at Villanova. I watched quite a bit of him when he played there. Mm-hmm. So I saw something in him that maybe we could work with. And, you know, I think from a pro, he has the right mentality. I think he has a ways to go maybe to take it to the next level, but everything he's done has been first class for me when he's come in here. So he earned his goal, and he's earned every minute that he's played.
Had some fans send me notes about Shilo being back on the roster. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, Shilo, he was up in Portland, and he had some, obviously he's under a certain contract there, and that works with MLS, you know, and that's how it is. And he's an international, so it'd be a lot for Portland to make him stay there. And the reason why he was let go is because they didn't see him cracking in right now with the first team. And it's one of those situations where it was tough. So, you know, I know Shilo very well, and he knows our system well. He's a great kid. And I think this is a good place for him, and just trying to get him game fit and, you know, getting him in for 5 minutes the other day was great. And we'll just look to build from there.
Galaxy, give me a view of Los Dos here Saturday night. You beat them a couple of weeks ago. I thought one of your best wins of the season. What are you expecting this Saturday?
It's going to be a good game. they're a good team. Mm-hmm. They're a very good team. You know, like I said all along, you know, Kurt has them ready. Every time we play them, they're a good mixture of youth and experience. They're very well organized, and they're very dangerous going forward. So it'll be a good matchup for us, and we'll do some things this week in training to, you know, put us in the best possible spot to get us 3 points, but it should be a heck of an entertaining game.
I'll see you on Saturday night, Michael. Thanks for the visit, as always.
Thanks, Brad. Take care, man.
It's Michael De La Russa there, head coach, Arizona United SC. United SC this Saturday night, 7:30, they start at Scottsdale Stadium against LA Galaxy 2. And it's been terrific to see the growth over at Scottsdale Stadium. People at Scottsdale Stadium, by the way, the grounds crew and just the people there in general, the when you drive in, they're very nice, helpful. All the volunteers or people with the city of Scottsdale, it's been terrific to see what's gone on there this year with United as soccer continues its growth and its upward trajectory.